We are in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 13. We are going to start from verse 1.
And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar and the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord hath spoken, behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him.
Last time we learned that Jeroboam became king. God gave him 10 tribes, and Solomon's son had only one tribe, means altogether 2 tribes. Jeroboam supposed to be grateful to God, but last time we learned that he made 2 calves and told people, you don't have to go to Jerusalem. I'm making it easy for you, so you worship here. And he took some priests, useless or worthless people, and made them priests and start worshiping heathen God. So God sending a prophet. Prophet comes at that time. Jeroboam is in the heathen temple, and he is standing at the altar. And he took the incense and he was burning the incense. Here comes the man of God and prophesied against the Jeroboam and the altar. And he says, altar, altar, you're going to split apart and your ashes is going to pour out. And then he said that there will be man will be born, Josiah, and God is going to destroy Jeroboam's kingdom. And when he gave this prophecy, still Jeroboam was not afraid. And so he was, instead of asking God forgiveness, he said, get hold of this man. And he reached his hand. Maybe there were some guards or something, but his hand withered. When his hand withered, but he did not ask God forgiveness, listening to all this prophecy, one prophecy came true. The altar split and the ashes were poured out. So he saw some miracle. Top of that, he lost his strength in his hand and his hand withered. So now he cannot stretch his hand back. He wanted to destroy the man of God, but now he has no power to get hold of him. And when the guards saw this, they also got scared and they did not get hold of the man of God. So see what happens, verse 5.
The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored to me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before.
He saw the miracle. Without man touching the hand, the altar was broken, the ashes were poured out, and his hand was withered. Instead of asking the man of God, could you please ask God to forgive me, and I'm going to repent, and I'm not going to do this idol worship again, so please pray for me. Instead of that, he said to the man of God, pray and ask God to restore my hand. Now this man of God was a little bit scared. Maybe he's a young man, young prophet, didn't have experience. So he just prayed to God. Maybe he was scared if he doesn't pray for him, the God will kill him. Well, I don't know what was in his mind, but he prayed to God. And God did not say anything to the man of God. This is his punishment, and I'm not going to restore his hand. But God heard the prayer of man of God. and God restored his hand. Now, after restoring his hand, he was a little bit softened, and he wanted the man of God to come to his house, and he was going to give him a reward. Let's read a little further.
And the king said unto the man of God, Come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, If thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was charged to me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel.
Now here we see the man of God restore his hand, and the king says, Come to my house, I'm going to give you the reward. He said, I don't want your reward. I'm not going to eat or drink. God already strictly told me to not to eat and not to drink. Even though you give me half of your kingdom, I'm not coming and I'm not eating your food, or I'm not going to drink the water, because strictly God told you go one way and you come another way. And he said, I'm not coming and I want to go back. And he did not take his money. He did not take his reward. King had no power to arrest him or do any wrong to him, so he let him go. Now this man of God, he has no relative, he has no friend in that area, and this town or this city was cursed. That's why God says, don't take water or food from this area, and you don't have to be polluted, you don't have to disobey my word, you just come back. And so he was obedient, and he start going. But here, see, this is his testing, I don't know. Or the another prophet was living in that area, he was old man. Or he was jealous, and he wanted to make trouble for the prophet. I have no idea. Let's read the verse 11.
Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. Them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, What way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, Saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. And went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, Art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am.
This old man asked his sons. They came and told him what a miracle happened, what the message he gave to the king. He's a very courageous man. And the miracle of the altar and everything they might have said. Now he says, where did the man go? They saw him going, so they said he went this way or whatever. So he said, the old man said, okay, saddle the donkey and I want to go and see the man. And he goes and talks to the man where he was sitting under the tree. Maybe he's tired and weary. We don't know, it was a sunny day or what, because he's thirsty. He cannot drink anything from the city. He cannot eat anything. So he might be resting a little bit. And here comes the old man. And he says, are you that prophet? Did that miracle? He says, yes, I am. Now this old man trying to trap him to disobey God. Let's read a little bit further.
And then he said unto him, Come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place.
Now the man says, Come with me and eat the bread and drink the water. He said, No, I cannot go, because God strictly told me, do not return to that place. Don't go there. Just come home. Go to your own town. Don't go. So I cannot come to this place. I cannot eat bread or water in this place. But see, this old man is trying to force him or convince him that you have to come back, and God has already told me to bring you back. Verse 17.
For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, Thou shalt eat no bread, nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. He said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him.
See, here he says, but he lied unto him. Now this old man, I don't know he was sympathetic, that he was thinking this man should eat and drink, or he want this man to be punished, or he was jealous, we have no idea. But the word of God says he lied. When the prophet lies, he's not a good prophet. Now he is cheating him, he is telling him, come back, and what he's saying, angel spoke to me. Angel spoke to me and gave the word of God. The book of Galatians, I think it's chapter 1, St. Paul says, even the angels gives you another message. What message I gave from the Lord? That angel will be cursed. Or any other person gives you message different than what I gave, that person will be cursed. So from that we know you should not be listening to anyone, even the angel, if he doesn't give the right message. The Bible says even the prophecy somebody does, you have to check the prophecy if it is according to the word of God. If it is not according to the word of God, that can be misleading from the devil. So here the man says, angel told me. Now this young prophet supposed to say, listen, I'm going to pray to God, and I'm going to ask God that, did you talk to this another prophet? Did you change your mind? You told me not to eat, not to drink. Now this man says, I can eat and I can drink, and you told this man, so he has to make clear with God. You go to God and ask. But this man might be hungry and thirsty, maybe looking for the excuse. And so he said, okay, if the Lord told you, I will come. But the man did not tell him, listen, I told you, but it's not from the Lord, okay? I don't want any problem. If you're hungry and thirsty, I'll give you food. But he did not change his word. He just let the man of God believe that God has changed his mind and God told him to come. Now this innocent prophet, tired and weary, he gave the very strong prophecy to the Jeroboam that King Josiah will be born in your family, and that's the time all the trouble will start. And his people were going to kill and destroy. And there won't be any more person will be in his family be king. Now this prophecy, he said, that prophecy did not fulfill right away. It took almost 300 years to fulfill. And so what happens? Let's read the words 19.
So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. And it came to pass as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back.
Now see, he ate, he drank, he's relaxing, he's still at the table, dinner table or lunch table. And the prophecy comes through this old man. Why God used this dumb old man to give the prophecy, and he was a liar, and he is lying to this prophet. Why God used the liar to tell this real prophet that you made a mistake? God used this liar or this old prophet to prophesy. You remember Balaam? Balaam was not the right man, but when he went to prophesy, God used his mouth to give the good prophecy, and he prophesied about Jesus Christ coming as a star. And that prophecy fulfilled. Now, why this happened? Sometimes God's trying to tell here, if the man of God or servant of God goes astray, God can use even donkey to stop his madness. And so that's what the thing I can see here. God used lying prophet to give warning to this man. And see what he said. Let's read verse 21.
And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, Forasmuch as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of the which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come into the sepulchre of thy fathers.
This young man listened to this old man's prophecy, and here the prophecy comes. He says, you disobey God. God told him not to drink water and eat the food, and God told him not to return there to this place, and you disobey God. Now what God is going to do? Your carcasses or your dead body will not be in your father's tomb. That means when you die, there will be no burial for you, and your carcasses will be out of your family burial ground. Now, when this prophecy came, not the old man understood anything, yet the young man. It can be happen when he old or something, or many years later happen. Didn't say today your carcasses will be falling on the ground. It didn't say like that. When you die, your body will not be buried in your father's place or father's house. It can be a long prophecy. He didn't take it seriously. The old man didn't take it seriously. So the man eats and goes back, start traveling, and see what happens. Verse 23.
And it came to pass after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass.
Now see what happened. The man came, I don't know, with the same tree where he was sitting, reached somewhere. Here comes the lion, attacks him, kills him, and he doesn't eat the meat. He just pushed that carcasses on the street. And there was a donkey. He did not touch the donkey. He did not kill the donkey. When the lion comes, donkey is supposed to run for his life. Donkey didn't run. So donkey stood there, lion standing in front of donkey. They are not fighting with each other. And the man got killed. Now some people walking on the street, they saw this scene. They came to the city and they told everyone the prophet got killed by lion, and the donkey is standing right there, and donkey is not killed. It's some miracle, something happened. Now that news might have gone to the king. Kings lives in the city. But the king didn't say, and bring his body, because he didn't come to my house. Now we can give him a good burial or something. That news comes to this old man. And somebody said that prophet who prophesied, that prophet is dead. Lion has killed him. Now this old man feels a little sorry. Why did I lie and why did I bother this man? He was minding his business. He was going on his way. I am the one caused this problem. I am the one told him to eat and drink. I deceived him, and now this man got punished. Because he said, when God says your carcasses will be not going to your father's burial ground, it can happen when he's old. So they didn't take it seriously. But here, instantly man died. So this old man, feeling sorry, so see what he's doing. Verse 25.
And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass. And they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who is disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him, and slain him, according to the word of the Lord which he spake unto him. And he spake to his sons, saying, saddle me the ass, and they saddled him. And he went and found his carcass cast in the way, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass. The lion had not eaten the carcass, nor torn the ass.
Now see, when this old man went, I don't know how much time it took, because the people saw it, they came to the city, and they told everybody, and then finally this old man came to know, but the lion is still standing there. The donkey is still standing there. It doesn't happen like this. This is unusual. And when this old man goes and he saw this thing, But the old man is courageous. He didn't care if the lion will kill him also, because he kills that prophet and he claims to be prophet. So he could be in trouble, but he just went. I don't know, the lion was still standing, or lion ran away, or lion was still there. Doesn't say here anything. But he just takes his body and brings to his house. And he feels sorry, and he tells his children, and he buried him in his own tomb. Let's read verse 29.
And the prophet took up the carcass of the man of God and laid it upon the ass and brought it back. And the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. And he laid his carcass in his own grave, and they mourned over him, saying, "Alas, my brother."
Now he's feeling so sorry, and he's thinking, he's a prophet, he's my brother, why this happened to him? And he gave his own tomb to keep his body there. And now he's telling his children, if I die, keep my body with his body in the same tomb. Let's read a little further.
And it came to pass, after he had buried him, that he spake to his sons, saying, "When I am dead, then bury me in the sepulchre wherein the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones."
That when he dies, he wants to be in the same tomb with him. Prophet did good prophecy. He's telling his children, whatever the prophecy the man of God gave, even though he disobeyed, but the prophecy is not going to change. Sometimes some man gives a prophecy or give the word of God or something like that, and something happens and that person backslidden or whatever. But whatever he did when he was right with God, God doesn't change anything. But his word went forth, and he told the king, what's going to happen? That surely will happen. Sometimes we think, why these wicked people live longer? But the wicked people live longer, they suffer a lot. So here we see this old man tells his children, when I die, put me in the same tomb. Let's read the verse 32.
For the saying which he cried by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel, and against all the houses of the high places which are in the cities of Samaria, shall surely come to pass.
Now this old man said whatever he said, but his word came from the Lord, and the prophecy was from God, so it's going to happen. Verse 33.
After this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but made again of the lowest of the people priests of the high places. Whosoever would, he consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places. And this thing became sin unto the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and to destroy it from off the face of the earth.
The Jeroboam did not learn anything. He did not learn that the prophet made one mistake, and he got killed by lion. But this Jeroboam, the day he became king, the day he started his kingdom, started idol worship, started worshiping idols, the man of God comes, gives him warning, he doesn't listen warning, and his hand got withered, still he didn't understand, and now he's keep on continuously doing this kind of sin, and enrolling other people to do the sin. And the word of God says he did commit sin, Israeli people commit sin, and the whole congregation, a whole Israeli people were committing idolatry. And chapter finishes there, and we're going to go to chapter 14. 1 Kings chapter 14, starting from verse 1.
At that time Abijah the son of Jeroboam fell sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, "Arise, I pray thee, and disguise thyself, that thou be not known to be the wife of Jeroboam, and get thee to Shiloh. Behold, there is Ahijah the prophet, which told me that I should be king over this people."
See what happens? Jeroboam's hand got withered. He didn't care. But now his son got sick. Now the son was not a baby. The age is not given. But you will know this word of God said this son was a good child. So he was God-fearing. He might be saying, his dad, why are we worshipping these idols? The man of God came and your hand got withered, still you're not changing. I don't know what he was saying, but somehow the word of God says this child was a good child, godly child. And so what happens now? The father committed sin, but the child is sick. Just like David. David did adultery, got the child in this world, and the child got sick, and David praying and praying and fasting and doing everything, but the child died. Now here the Jeroboam, he knows this story. But Jeroboam, a son, got very sick. Now being a king, they can get all kinds of doctors, they can spend a lot of money. He might have done everything. And so this child is not getting healed. So he tells his wife, you know what? Ahijah the prophet, he told me that 10 tribes will be coming to you and you'll be king. So he's a good man. And maybe he will heal my child. But you don't have to go and tell him that you are the Jeroboam's wife. You disguise yourself and go. If you're the man of God, if you talk about the child is sick, he will heal. But if you go as a Jeroboam's wife, he might be angry because I did not listen to him and I'm doing idol worship. So he might not heal our child, so just disguise. Take some cakes, 10 loaves of bread or whatever, take the jar of honey and make man of God happy. Sometimes they think, you know, you can give them some food or some sweet, people will not be angry. That's why people do. They go to the minister, they give money and give tithe. And so if they're doing something wrong, the minister overlooks because he doesn't want to say bad. If he say bad, they will leave the church. I have no time to tell you examples, but I can give hundreds of examples. But here what happens, this man tells his wife, disguise yourself, take the bread, take the honey. Instead of one, say 10, take the 10 loaves and go and give it to the man of God and he will heal our child. Now she listens to husband and she goes. You're disguising yourself, that means you are pretending to be somebody else. So you are lying. So here we see, she did not say, if the man of God finds out that I am Jeroboam's wife, don't you think he's going to curse me? Don't you think he's going to punish me? But she just listened to the husband and she goes. Now see what happens. Here, Ahijah the prophet, so after a long time, now he became old and he became blind. So now he cannot see properly, but he can still hear. So God spoke to him. He said, listen, Jeroboam's wife is coming and she's disguising that she is not Jeroboam's wife. And God already told him. And many other things might have told because it's not written here.
Take with thee 10 loaves and cracknels and a cruse of honey and go to him. He shall tell thee what shall become of the child. And Jeroboam's wife did so and arose and went to Shiloh and came to the house of Ahijah. But Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were set by reason of his age. And the Lord said unto Ahijah, behold, the wife of Jeroboam cometh to ask a thing of thee for her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus shalt thou say unto her, for it shall be when she cometh in that she shall feign herself to be another woman. And it was so when Ahijah heard of the sound of her feet as she came into the door, that he said, come in, thou wife of Jeroboam. Why feignest thou thyself to be another? For I am sent to thee with heavy tidings.
Now see, as soon as the lady came to his door, he heard the steps and he said, welcome, Jeroboam's wife. See, sometimes people want to trick the people, but you cannot trick God. You cannot trick the man of God. God warned this prophet. Why he was blind when this happened? Because God wanted to tell these people, even though this man doesn't see you, but he sees you from the Spirit of God. As soon as she came, he recognized the Spirit of God told him, this is the lady. So he said, hi, Jeroboam's wife, come on in. You don't have to disguise. Come right in. I have a bad news for you. Before she even asked him, my son is sick, and even though I'm Jeroboam's wife, my husband told me to disguise, and I came, could you have a mercy on my child? My child is sick. Before she can say anything, he said, I have a bad news for you. She could not say, please don't give me bad news, and please have mercy on me. She didn't say anything. She got scared, but she didn't say anything. See what the man of God is saying. Verse 7.
Go tell Jeroboam, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, for as much as I exalted thee from among the people, and made thee prince over my people Israel, and rent the kingdom away from the house of David, and gave it thee, and yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments, and who followed me with all his heart, to do that only which was right in mine eyes, but hast done evil above all that were before thee. For thou hast gone and made thee other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger, and hast cast me behind thy back. Therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam, as a man taketh away dung till it be all gone. Him that dieth of Jeroboam in the city shall the dogs eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat, for the Lord hath spoken it.
The lady comes for the good news. He said, I have bad news for you. She would have said, I don't want to hear. I'm getting out of here. But she wanted to hear what the man of God is saying. Now he's saying, you know what? And all the man-child, he gave the different way how to recognize the man-child. But he says, all the man-child in his family, they are going to be killed. If they are in city, dog will eat them. Their flesh. If they are in the farm working or running away from the city, the birds will eat them. And so this was a very, very strong prophecy. She heard everything. As the man of God saying, she should say, please, please don't say so horrible things. Please reverse these things. It should not happen to us. Didn't say anything. She listened to everything. And so this prophecy, as I said, did not come right away. As soon as you go back to your house, you enter into city, your child dies. Now, I don't know, her house was at the border, and her house was right there, because she entered the city. Child did not die. When she came to her door, the child died. From that, I think the house was at the border of some other city. And so let's read a little bit further, verse 12.
Arise thou therefore, get thee to thine own house, and when thy feet enter into the city, the child shall die. And all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him, for he only of Jeroboam shall come to the grave, because in him there is found some good thing toward the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam. Moreover, the Lord shall raise him up a king over Israel, who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam that day. But what even now?
See, he already told her, Jeroboam's kingdom will be destroyed. The people in his family, they will be killed. In the city, dog will eat their flesh. If they go run to the farm or outside of city, they will be eaten by birds. And as soon as you go to the city, your child will die. And not only that, he said, all whole city is going to mourn or cry or weep for your son. From that, I understood the child was very good, and he can be a baby. He might be, I'm guessing, he might be 10 years, 12 years old child. He might be very good. Everybody came to know this child is good. Everybody loved this child in the town. But this person died, the child died. Everybody start weeping and mourning. And not only that, because he was a good child. He was a good boy. He got a good burial. This prophecy he gave, half of the prophecy fulfilled, it happened according to the prophecy. Verse 15.
For the Lord shall smite Israel as a reed is shaken in the water, and he shall root up Israel out of this good land. which he gave to their fathers, and shall scatter them beyond the river, because they have made their groves, provoking the Lord to anger.
God is angry. He's saying not only some trouble is going to come to family, but God is very angry. God is going to take your kingdom, give it to the foreign people. They will come and they will take your people, kidnap your people, and you will be going in exile. Now you know the Judah and Israel, the both kingdom. Now Jeroboam has 10 tribes and he's the king, and he started idol worship first. Now Judah, Rehoboam is king. He has Benjamin and Judah. They started idol worship after Israel people start doing idol worship. Not only that, first Israeli people were kidnapped or taken to the exile. After that, the Judah's people were taken to exile. So first punishment comes to 10 tribes, and then comes to Judah and Benjamin. People are not learning. The prophet came and gave the prophecy that Israeli people will be kidnapped, will be taken to the foreign land, and they will suffer. Rehoboam is not changing, and Jeroboam is not changing. Let's read a little bit further.
And he shall give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam, who did sin and who made Israel to sin.
He said, Jeroboam sinned, and he made Israeli people sin. Means he made the cows, he made the idols, and he told other people to worship. So some people, they commit sin and they want more people to do the same. That's the devil. Devil committed sin first, and now he wants other people to join with him because he doesn't want to go to hell himself. So he's preparing more people to go with him. And so that's the way the Jeroboam was doing. Verse 17.
And Jeroboam's wife arose and departed and came to Tirzah. And when she came to the threshold of the door, the child died. They buried him, and all Israel mourned for him according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by the hand of his servant Ahijah the prophet. And the rest of the acts of Jeroboam, how he warred, and how he reigned, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. And the days which Jeroboam reigned were 22 years, and he slept with his fathers, and Nadab his son reigned in his stead. And Rehoboam the son of Solomon reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord did choose out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah and Ammonitess.
Okay, now here we see, first of all, they gave the story of Jeroboam, because he says his story and Jeroboam and Rehoboam's story is in the Book of Chronicles. Book of Chronicles is called the King's History. So we will be learning more about these both kings and other kings in the Book of Chronicles. Giving little bit story about Rehoboam. Now Rehoboam is the son of Solomon, and he started his work when he was 41 years old. He became king, and now his mother's name is given. Most of the time they don't give the ladies' names. But the mother's name is given, and not only that, they said she is Ammonites. And so the King Solomon married this lady Ammonites, and now he got a son from her. And so Ammonite people were idol worshippers, and she taught her husband to do idol worship. So now she is teaching her son to do the same. If you would have not married the heathen ladies, I'm talking about Solomon, he would not be doing idol worship, and his children will not be doing idol worship. But he started. He started idol worship, and God gave him warning, your kingdom will be torn apart, and 10 tribes I'll give it to your servant, and 1 tribe I'll give it to your son. But that time also, Solomon did not repent, did not ask God forgiveness. And now here, Rehoboam saw what happened to Jeroboam, but Rehoboam is not changing either. And he started doing idol worships because of his mother. Verse 22.
And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins which they had committed above all that their fathers had done.
Now see, here said Judah committed sin. But actually, Rehoboam is a king of Judah. So Rehoboam's mother is idol worshiper. He start doing idol worship. And so all the other people start doing idol worship because Rehoboam is doing. Do you know that Rehoboam is living in Jerusalem? And there is a temple in Jerusalem. And the God's temple is closed. So they can go to the temple and worship the Lord. But the Jeroboam said, hey, you don't have to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to make temple for you for a heathen God. And you stay here. And Rehoboam doesn't have to do this. There's already temple there. His father made this temple and spent millions of billions of dollars. But he's thinking, hey, my father built the temple, but he never worshipped in temple. He went to somewhere, all these high places, and made the temple for everybody. And he made the temple for my mom. So now I have to listen to my mom. Do you know the first teacher in the family? Who is the first teacher? His mother. That's why he said, your mother tongue. You learn everything from your mother. And so whatever your mother teaches, the language or whatever, the children learn. All the Judah start doing, and all the Jeroboam people start doing, and everybody start committing sin. Verse 23.
For they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree.
Already temple there, but now his father already made some of the temples for his wife, but the Rehoboam is making more. Every tree they can find, every mountain they can find, every high hill they can find, and go and make the temple for the heathen God. So here he says, every places, every high place, every under tree, they start building the temples and start doing idol worship. Verse 24.
And there were also Sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel.
Now see, idol worship start, top of that, people start doing sodomy. And so when that thing happened, the whole country defiles. Sodom and Gomorrah, God destroy completely with the fire. 25.
And it came to pass in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem.
Now see, the only 5 years he was king. The king of Egypt coming to destroy the king of Judah. Now you know that Solomon married the Egyptian lady. Now they should have some kind of sympathy, some kind of respect for Solomon's family. But now he's coming to take the loot from the temple and from Solomon's house. Because his wife might have said, hey, we made some golden shields. It's in my house. And we had so much golden stuff in our temple. Fight with Jeroboam only 5 years of his reign. Verse 26.
And he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He even took away all. And he took away all the shields of gold which Solomon had made.
He took all the treasures from the temple, and he took all the golden shields he made. The Solomon did not have to make this golden shield, but he made it. And he said, now I'm not going to make it gold shields. I'm going to make it a brass ones. Let's read a little further. Verse 26.
And King Rehoboam made in their stead brazen shields and committed them unto the hands of the chief of the guard which kept the door of the king's house. And it was so when the king went into the house of the Lord that the guard bare them and brought them back into the guard chamber. Now the rest of the acts of Rehoboam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all their days. And Rehoboam slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And his mother's name was Naamah an Ammonitess, and Abijam his son reigned in his stead.
His mother's name given twice to remind the people that the evil lady taught evil things to her son, and her husband's all this glory is gone, The temple is completely gold and everything, and all the shields are taken. The man said, okay, now I'm going to make the shields of brass. And he says, now what I'm going to do, I'm not going to keep it in the temple. I'm not going to keep it in my house. I'm going to give it to the guards so they can wear it. And when I go to the temple, they can protect me. When I'm coming from there, they can protect me. So I'm going to give it to the guards. I'm not going to take it with me. And so now here it is saying, Jeroboam was king for 22 years. But Rehoboam only was king 17 or so. The wicked man was king for 22 years. Jeroboam was only 17 years. And then again he said, Rehoboam's story is written in the book of Chronicles. And then his son Abijam. Now he says Abijam, and some other places say Abijah, Jeroboam's son. And both of them got a curse of God. And there's the chapter finishes. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. The Lord Jesus, give us grace. Prepare us for your glory. And give us grace to prepare others for your soon coming. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.